I dig what you were just playing there, man. What's up?
Queens of the Stone Age?
Okay.
I don't think I've played Queens of the Stone Age yet.
Nah, you haven't. That's new to me.
Good stuff. That's off of Rated R, one of my favorite records of all time.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age, man. I don't talk about them enough, but probably the last really great rock band, in my opinion.
So, funny enough, Rated R, you said that was the title of the
album.
That's
the record, yeah.
Funny enough, that's actually one of my favorite albums, too. Totally different artist, though. Rihanna. Gotta say, probably.
Oh, she made a Rated R. That's right.
Yeah, like 10 years ago now. One of my favorite pop records of all time.
It's a good record name.
Yeah, I dig it. Real dark.
Edgy.
Know? Yeah, edgy. Exactly. Edgy and dark.
I'm Josh.
I'm Jaren.
We don't know what we're talking about,
but we're going to have fun doing it.
So, what have you been listening to lately?
A lot of 90s R&B lately. Checking out like some Blackstreet. Have you heard of them?
Blackstreet?
Yeah, by your response, I could tell you have no clue what I'm talking about.
No, man, not them.
No, not them, huh? Not you might have heard of White Street, though, huh? No, I'm messing with you. There is no White Street. Black Street, some 90s Michael Jackson, Usher when he was young. His first two or three records were pretty fire. Funny enough, crazy, I'm talking about R&B, but Usher's third album, actually. It's a live album. Usher Live is called... You know, guitar is my favorite instrument, always has been. That album came out when I was about 4, I believe. That might have been the album that really, like, turned me on the guitar. Like, it's R&B music.
Oh,
there's
wow.
A lot of, like, guitar in there, a lot of rock elements that I'm really digging.
Okay. Is that a recommend? Should I be checking that out?
Not for the... Forget it. Recommend it. Usher Live.
All right. Sounds good.
I like how that record blends a few different genres. So, check it out.
I'm into it, man.
For sure. What about you, man?
I've been listening to some Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
And I've been doing all these road trips.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we talked about this before, but I think the best driving record ever written was Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
It's like a long-winded record. Every single song is an absolute masterpiece. Big, big recommend, especially if you've got like a long, long drive and you're going... Man, this past 4 months, I've gone up and down that I-5 abyss like so many times.
Yeah, I noticed.
And you just need good records, man.
So. Man, you got to.
Yeah.
I always make a playlist.
You know, yeah, but like I can't make a playlist long enough for that. San Diego and L.A., man. Talk to me
off air. We'll work something out, I guess.
Yeah, I need the hookup.
I got them playlists for $5. I'm a playlist dealer.
So this week, I want to ask primarily you, Jaren, about... You're the only other person on this podcast.
Yeah, who else you gonna ask?
Mostly you.
Asper?
Mostly you about this question. I kind of wanted to get into it last week,
okay,
but we were kind of dodging around it.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about...
You remember what we was talking about last week?
Man, that was a really weird moment
We was talking about the worst hit songs of the 2010s.
That's right. I don't know what the hell happened. So we were looking over the charts and over the newest ones, we were seeing some Post Malone popping up. And there was just Post Malone for me brings up the whole question of cultural appropriation.
Oh my goodness.
And I kind of wanted to ask you and get into it a little bit, you know, because it's kind of a controversial thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, someone's got to talk about it.
Well, you know, me and you have talked off air. You know, one of the things we always said we wanted to do with this podcast, aside from just talk about music, was talk about, you know, cultural differences and stuff within music, you know, and talk about culture. So,
right.
This is where we air it out. Let's get into it. All right. Well, what do you want to ask me about Post Malone?
So yeah, man, is he out of line in your opinion?
I wouldn't say he's out of line, but I definitely feel like he would fall into that cultural appropriation category, just because it's like, okay, you check the cat out, and it's like, I don't want to say he's acting black, but the motherfucker acting black, like.
So what are the telltale signs?
It's like
that
a whole suit that he got. It just doesn't come off authentic at all. Like, okay, let's take for instance someone like Eminem, grew up in Detroit, you know. We've heard about his background, all that
kind of
stuff.
He grew up in terrible circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. Hung out with primarily black people. Like, there's just certain stuff you know, okay, well, he's being himself, and he's not trying to be overly hard. You know, he's being himself. Most of the hard shit he talks about is, like, stupid stuff, like killing his mom, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, real stuff he's been through, you know, the drugs.
You know, so he's just being himself. Whereas Post Malone, it's like, you know, he got the grilling and... He got his cornrows in. He's like, I was telling you before, this was like months ago, his name came up. He's like a step down from Riff Raff.
Whoa.
But Riff Raff is almost more believable because he has so much damn confidence, you kind of can't knock
that
him.
I was going to say, Riff Raff is so certain of himself.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with him. He's so sure of himself that he's like, oh, shit, maybe he is like this.
So with Post Malone, the thing that I see with him, that especially as he kind of grows into himself and the label really puts him together, is he's a fusion of this like Midwestern thing, and he wears the denim, you know, and he wears the plaid, and he's got like that twang to some tiny extent, as much as you could in the type of music that he makes. And he kind of fuses that with like the whole, you know, rapper image thing.
It's like he's using black stuff and a black imagery to appeal to white kids. It's like he's taking our stuff and taking it to, you know, his people, for lack
of a better
term.
So that's, I think that's the thing I want to get into, is like, where exactly does the frustration come from with that?
Like I said, to me, you can just tell that he's putting on an act. It's not authentic. It, you know, all the tattoos. Every time you see a picture of Post Malone, he got up some kind of sign.
When you say like he's taking our stuff, like what does that specifically?
For one, I don't know too many white guys with cornrows. White Iverson is a telltale sign. Like that's what he calls himself.
Literally, yeah, that's white kind Iverson. That's kind of a thing. Like that's a pretty blatant whitewash.
Yeah,
right?
You know what I mean.
Literally. Yeah.
So he's telling you right now, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm taking this guy's image and I'm making it the white version.
But it's here's my question though. Here's where I want to distinguish. Is like you say, like he's taking it. It's not like he's removing something. He's just emulating it, right? So does that devalue it when people that aren't black like emulate certain things?
Well, no. Like I said, it's definitely a difference. Like it's he's mocking it in a way. It's not coming from a place of. It's almost like he's making it funny. You know, like you're looking at Post Malone, he's kind of a joke. Where someone like, okay, let's say Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars isn't black. Definitely dabbles in like, let's say more black originated music. But to me, this is where it comes down to a point of let's differentiate appropriation from appreciation. Someone like Bruno Mars, I would say, is appreciating a culture. You know what
so
I mean?
how do you make appreciation and not appropriate? How do you make that distinction?
Well, Bruno Mars, for one, like, I don't know, every time you see him, it's his whole band is black, you know what I mean? Like, the people he works with is black, you know what I mean? Like, he even goes to, like, the BET Awards, and he'll tell you, like, you know, thank you, like, I got this from black people. Like, he's done that before.
Mm.
Post Malone, I can't say that I've seen him at a BET Awards yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's never, and not saying that you're required to say, oh, well, you know, I got this from black people, but, like, don't use something that we made up and profit off of it and then just kind of like turn your back on us. It's like, you know, you see Post Malone in award shows where it's okay, he's doing hip hop music and using hip hop gimmicks, but who is he collaborating with? Aerosmith. Like, you're not even a rock artist. You got the song called Rockstar, but you're not a rock artist.
Man, okay. Well, pretty strong take there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw myself into the hole, into the situation, man. Because I was actually thinking about this, you know, like, everyone's so sensitive now. It's 2019.
Definitely.
And I'm always thinking, as an artist myself, I'm always thinking about, like, am I going to cross a line somewhere here? Do I got to be extra, extra careful? Mm-hmm. There's a white straight guy. Like, I'm like, well, you know, I can.
A lot of ways you could fuck up.
A lot of ways I could do something that's perceived as offensive, you know. So anyway, a few months back, I made this record. I made a Bossa Nova record. I learned some Portuguese. I had a Portuguese teacher for like a couple of months and learned to sing the songs and listen to the records, like listen to everybody's version of the records. Had my guitarist learn the songs with me, and we covered some Portuguese, some traditional Brazilian music, played some Bossa Nova. And I was thinking, am I appropriating this culture by like playing the traditional songs and singing them in the language? I tried to do it as respectfully. I didn't like put on an accent or do anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm so deeply in love with those traditional Brazilian songs that like I just want to show my appreciation for it. And I was thinking what are the ways in which I can make this happen without being perceived as somebody who's appropriating it?
Well, I mean, I might be biased on this topic because I know you personally, but definitely not cultural appropriating. Like I said, it will fall into that appreciation category. Kind of lost my train of thought there.
Yeah, so that's my question, man. Is where exactly do we put that delineation? You know,
well, for one, like you said, you're not doing it in a disrespectful manner. You're not putting on Portuguese garb or, you know, Brazilian garb to whatever that may be, an accent, clothes, you know, a tan. You're not doing any of that. You're just appreciating the music. You know what I mean? Like, you actually went and learned about the culture. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? You kind of did your take on that. It wasn't like, now I'm Portuguese. Whereas that's my thing with Post Malone. It's not the fact that, you know, you're doing black music a lot of times. Like, you know, for one, okay, we do have a problem with that you're doing black music and it sucks. If you're going to do our music, you know, you're going to do some black stuff. Yeah, at least make good music.
We don't have to
Justin Timberlake makes dope music.
We can pick someone else besides Post Malone. We don't have to keep
throwing
him under the bus.
Well, I mean, we own him now. He's a great example. So my thing with him is, okay, he's putting on a costume as well as just doing the music. You know what I mean? Like, his whole imagery is, you could paint him black and you would probably think he was black. Like, the way he's acting is, you know, the way he's seen rappers act, or, you know what I mean? Like, black rappers. Yeah. Like, he's wearing all the same stuff black rappers are wearing.
A point to make about him is, like, well, you see through it if he didn't used to act like that necessarily, you know? Yeah. And he just is, for whatever reason.
It's like, everybody want to be black, but nobody want to be a nigga.
Whoa. that's a take right there. Jesus.
And that's how I feel about him. You know, he want to use the good parts of it, but he's taking it and, you know, marketing it to white kids. This is a totally, like, kind of unrelated, but I think he's in town pretty soon. I just want to see, you know, what his ticket prices go for. Just how popular is he? His ticket prices are pretty crazy expensive.
Yeah, where is he playing and what are the prices?
Oracle Arena in Oakland. It's the Oakland Arena now, in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And ticket prices are pretty damn high. And I was like, oh, this guy's not going to sell out. But white kids love him. And that's just kind of more to my point.
So here's another question. Let's get deeper into this thing, man. I mean, the thing with Post Malone kind of emulates, like, a historical pattern in like, the most popular music.
Man, we could go on.
Which is like, well, that's kind of what Elvis did to some extent, you know?
Yeah.
Or arguably, you know, any of the English, new wave English bands that came out that were playing, like...
Can we stop you? Are you talking about Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Rolling Stones have been, like, even now, they still big up. Like, they're just like Bruno Mars, they will tell you, like, we got a lot of our style from, like, black soul singers from the States. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you know, Steely Dan says that too. Donald Fagen says, like, yeah, I listened to black music as a kid. And
even to this day, like, who's opening up for the Stones? Like, black artists. You know what I mean? They're definitely.
So is that how you? Is that a good way to give yourself some credibility? Is to say outright, like, okay, this is where my influences are.
Not even necessarily credibility, because we're not like. It's not necessarily giving you credibility, but it's like, okay, yeah, I appreciate this. You know, I'm not coming into this culture and taking this culture to just try to, for my own gain. Like, this is where I got it from, and right. I want to show appreciation to these people, you know, help the way I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I don't know. Be upfront about it, I guess.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we know what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
We see what you're doing. We could try to dance around the issue, like, he's not trying to act like he's, you know, black or whatever, but we see right
how come Post Malone didn't get in trouble for it?
I mean, because what can you do? There's not a cultural appropriation police. Like,
yeah, but the whole, I mean, this all of the media is so sensitive, and bloggers, I feel like, are so sensitive, and I don't know. I feel like in 2019, some bad stuff starts to happen to you if you cross those lines.
I'll say this. There is, like, just search the internet, Post Malone cultural appropriator or something like that. I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of articles have come up. I've seen a few. So there are, like, you know, smaller people, smaller blogs and stuff writing about it. But the mass media in large, like, he's a big artist that a label was pushing big time. So there's not going to be that narrative out there, you know, from, like, the mass media sources right now. He's getting pushed by the label.
Yeah, I understand.
So, and he's making money. People actually, you know, checking out his shitty concerts.
Before we take a break here, I got one last question.
What's up?
About our man, Post Malone. Sorry to throw you under the bus. If you're listening, Posty,
come join the show one day.
Yeah, come on the show.
We love you as a guest.
Why do you think that it would be less of an issue if the material was better?
If he still did everything, all the
antics, but the records were, like, really good.
Probably so, honestly. Just because it's like, now you're not a mockery. You know what I mean? Like, you still, we still see the costume, but okay, at least the music. at least there's actually some soul there. You know what I mean? Like, at least we know the art is actually coming from an authentic place. The art itself.
Yeah, you're not just replicating.
Yeah, you know, you're not just a label plant. Hmm. You know, which I feel like he kind of is. He just, you know, the label found this guy. They gave him an image, you know, and marketed him. Okay. So at least if the music was good, we might be able to get past a little more. Because like I said, the art would come from a real soulful place. But it doesn't.
It'll be more genuine.
Yeah.
Posty, if you're listening, either.
We want a rebuttal.
Let's change up the costume a little bit. Or.
Don't take them braids out, man.
Or.
Don't take that grill out.
Make better records?
Yeah. Hey, actually, keep the shit on. Just make better records, man. Because I got to hear you for some reason. People want to push you. Keep all the costume on. Just make good music, man. Legit. We can get past it.
We will be back in a second. People gon' call it the trove. I ain't really trip on the credit. I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game. Got my name all in the news. Tripping on all of my moves. Quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this bitch. Fresh out the county. Man, I love that record.
Yeah.
Never get tired of that. We've talked about that record a lot on this podcast.
That's probably one of my favorite songs to play in my car, like of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I can never get sick of that record. Just put me in a mood I need to be in.
I do get motivated to hustle.
Hey, that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
All right, so going back to my main man. No, not my main man. Going back to that guy, Post Malone. What's your opinion on this? On him and just cultural appropriation in general?
Well, so it's a little different for me to talk about it, right? I mean, I have to say, like, yeah, I don't really like the record so much, you know. I'm not so invested as him and an artist. The thing that I get caught up about this whole thing, like, I guess I just don't feel necessarily where you're coming from with the, like, he's taking something away. I think it's corny what he's doing. I think it's terribly corny. Mm-hmm. I think it's ingenuine. Like, if you don't come from that place, don't do that. I think I have a much bigger problem with, like, I see the issue with the cultural appropriation and how it's emulation and it's but I have a bigger problem with how it's ingenuine. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk about this with art in general. It's like the thing that I want to see from you is originality and risks and just to be genuine. Like, that's something that everybody appreciates about any kind of art. So that's just one of the ways that I think he's being ingenuine is the whole image is built up of things that he's replicating from something that isn't necessarily
his genuine background,
you know?
That's my whole argument. But I wanted to stop you. You said you kind of couldn't see where I was coming from.
Well, I see where you're coming from. I just don't feel the same frustration with it.
Well, yeah, you know, white guy, black guy.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just can't say that I do feel the frustration. If I saw somebody that was doing the fucking, like, Jew thing. Mm-hmm. That was really making a big deal out of it and was being a goofball and wasn't Jewish and was for some weird reason, like, playing up whatever. I'd probably take offense to it. But I wouldn't feel like they're taking something. I just feel like they're making fun of it.
I feel you, but I think you gotta, context is where this is kind of, context is needed right here. Like, so as black people, we're sick of people taking stuff that we came up with, pivot into like a white audience and then profiting off of it. And it's like, okay, well, we came up with this. Like,
yeah, you couldn't necessarily profit off of it. So now,
yeah, you know what I mean?
We're going to take something and like water it down a little bit. And then
this is totally unrelated to music, but it's a great example right now. So, like, you know, like do-rags, I don't know if you know what that is. Basically, it's something like, you know, a lot of us, like black people, wear on our head, you know, to like keep our hair, you know, like nice and smooth while you sleep. You know, you don't want to get it too fucked up. You wear a do-rag or whatever. Some people wear them outside. Not really a fan of that, but okay, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. So a few years ago, it was one big clothing brand. I don't want to say the wrong brand and get somebody, you know, messed up.
Sure.
Some brand like came out with do-rags basically and called it something else and like, you know, had like white models wearing it and acted like it was something new. When black people been wearing this my whole life, probably since like the 60s, you know? I know through the 90s, I've always seen do-rags. So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. That's not related to music, but it's stuff like that where we get pissed off of. Like, stop taking our inventions, our culture, not thanking us for it, not, you know, showing any kind of appreciation, pivoting it to a white audience and taking all the profit from it and acting like you came up with something. Basically what Christopher Columbus did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's a good analogy.
Kind of the same thing.
That's a good analogy.
That's where the problem with cultural appropriation comes in. Like I said, I have no problem with anybody white doing, like black genres of music, like hip hop or, you know, Eminem's one of my favorite rappers. Like my favorite pop star, probably Justin Timberlake. And honestly, like, hate to say, I'm kind of seeing him a little different now, but okay. Before his last album, like I was totally fine with Justin Timberlake doing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the way you're describing it, it's almost more of an intellectual property thing. It's like, yeah, I'd be pissed off if you stole my ideas and profited more off of it just because you're at an advantage marketing-wise.
Yeah,
because
you're white.
Right. Yeah.
That's that white privilege, you know.
Well, I can totally understand that, man, you know.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, we should be more upset with consumers, too, of, you know, people that buy this kind of stuff. The people that buy Post Malone's records. You know, me and you were talking a while ago, like, just look at all the, like, well, not all, but some of the pop stars that have dabbled in, like, more black genres, more black arenas. Like, okay, let's go Christina Aguilera. Let's go Miley Cyrus.
Cyrus is a ridiculous example of this. I want to jump in here. Do you remember when she did that fucking record? Oh, my God. What the hell is the name of that record? It's got her with the goo all over her face on it.
I can't say I bought any Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God. I didn't buy it. It was just, I remember when it came out in like 2016 or something and Mike Will made most of it.
Yeah, man. She was wearing a Jordan jersey in all the videos and Jordans on her feet. And
yeah, she was sponsored by
twerking
Beats.
And
yeah, Beats pills were everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
She was doing the twerking thing and man, that was like gross for so many different levels.
Okay, so I'm happy you bought Miley up because that was probably one of my biggest examples of cultural appropriation. All right, so we've seen her grow up, you know, Hannah Montana, you know, Disney star, country music, pop music, you know, pretty white.
Oh my God, yeah.
We could say, cool. Then you pivot to black music. All of a sudden, you know, you want to hang with Mike Will, Mady, you want to do videos with Future and whoever else is hot at that time. And then, you know, after that album's run was over, whatever it did, what it was going to do, it sold, what it was going to sell, you know, all that buzz died down. She then jumps back to, like, kind of doing country or, like, a wider image. Not only that, but I'd have to find the quote, but she says something real messed up about, like, oh, I'm done with hip-hop, you know? Like, basically, like, I got what I wanted out of it. And she kind of downplayed, jeez, like, hip-hop.
Well, talk about going through a phase, man.
Yeah, so it's like, don't just come use us for what you want to get out of it and then go back to what you're doing. You know, and that's exactly what she did.
Not that I think she's otherwise a genuine artist, but man, talk about ingenuine, you know?
Yeah.
Like the record was terrible too.
Man, that's, again, if you're going to do this, at least make it good.
Yeah.
Like Christina Aguilera made a couple great albums back in like the early 2000s. Then she pivoted to, you know, her little white phase. I don't know what she's really doing now, but okay, at least she was making good records.
Ah, man. Yeah, Miley Cyrus. I remember when that album came out, I just remember thinking, like, being, like, nauseated by the whole thing. She was trying so hard to be edgy, you know? And it felt like using hip-hop and black music was, like, one of the ways that she was trying to be edgy.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of her techniques to try to push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, gross. Like, it was like a dehumanization of it.
For white kids, it's like white kids want that black, air quote, cool. But they don't want it from black people necessarily. They want it from somebody they could digest a little easier, you know?
So I think like that was a big part of the boy bands, man, you know?
Yes,
it's like, you know, not too dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just, it's not like Wu-Tang, right? It's not Wu-Tang dangerous, but it's just
hard.
Dangerous
enough.
Are you
talking like NSYNC and like Backstreet?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to point too many fingers because some of that material is great, you know, but.
Man, yeah, I don't know if I'd say that's necessarily cultural appropriation.
Well, think about it this way, man. And I'm not going to try to say that it is necessarily, but I think, like, what if the dudes in NSYNC were black, man? I mean, do you think
they make it very far?
Well, I think
that B2K
that would have made it too dangerous for the consumers.
Yeah.
That did end up getting way into NSYNC and like popularizing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every like what certain age group had like a poster of NSYNC on their dorm room or whatever. So it's like, I don't know. But it's like you do what Elvis did. You make it not too dangerous, just safe enough, mm-hmm. just inside the box enough to where it's like lowest common denominator consumable.
I'll go back to saying, like, I think with something like that, what comes into play is now you got to look at the consumers and the audience. You know, it's not necessarily like I don't think NSYNC was culturally appropriating. They were doing, you know, pop music with shades of R&B, shades of funk, but it wasn't like they were put on the costume.
I think I should have used Backstreet Boys as an example for that instead.
Same kind of deal. Maybe they were a little more edgy, but I don't think, you know, it was not necessarily like, yeah, we're cool, we black, you know.
Well, they were doing like hip hop.
Like, okay, who's that? It was a group back in the 90s before I was born that I would say probably kind of was a borderline cultural appropriation. If I had to Color Me Bad, I think.
I've never heard of
it. I Want to Sex You Up. Check that song out.
Okay.
That might be, and I don't know because I haven't looked into them too much, but I was like, wait a minute, some white boys made this? When I saw the video, some white boys made this? So, but NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, nah. I knew they was white when I heard that.
Okay. All right.
And it wasn't like they was fronting trying to be something they weren't.
Yeah. I think I just make the point where it's like, well, this is a pattern that has existed for the entirety of the music industry is you know, a microcosm of black people come up with something and then it gets...
White people take it, make it a little more, you know, manageable.
Well, a little safer, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
take some of the funk out of it.
Yeah, blues and bebop are too edgy. We're too edgy for people when they first originated.
Mm-hmm.
So people to kind of like simmer it down.
I'm going to say this again. I don't have a problem with anybody that's not black or any culture for that matter, like taking a genre or an art form that another culture came up with and, you know, appreciating it and doing something within that genre. It's when you take it as if you're already part of that group, like it's yours. Just take it, put on the costume like you're that and, you know, try to sell it to the masses like what Madonna does a lot of times.
Mm.
Sorry to all my Madonna stans out there, but you know it's true.
Well, I would be afraid to say that I like feel the frustration also, because like how could I, you know, like I've never had my culture be appropriated in such a blatant way. But I totally empathize, I totally understand, you know, and you know, you gotta call it when you see it.
We sick and tired, man. We sick and tired of this.
Word.
So Well, let me ask you this. Who is someone you would say outside of Post Malone? Yeah, that's definitely like cultural appropriation, right? They don't even have to be like a black artist or a white artist doing black stuff. Could be anybody.
I think Elvis is one of the most underrated.
Oh, definitely.
Like, but people don't talk about him like that. And people say like, yeah, he took black music.
He's the king.
He's the king of rock and roll or whatever. And he certainly brought a lot to the table.
He basically just took what Lil Richard and Chuck Berry was doing.
It's that was around before the word cultural appropriation existed.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Elvis too is his records were blowing up like while segregation was still happening, which is crazy to me.
That's what I was saying. Everybody want to be black. Nobody want to be a nigga. Like they want that black cool, but they don't want, you know, all the other stuff that comes with it. They don't want it from black people.
Do you think, man, I wonder if like, I don't really know how serious segregation was during the time that Elvis was touring, but it's like black people couldn't even really enjoy it. It was not even for them. It was for the American first class citizens.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's like our stuff, we can't even enjoy it. It's not even for us.
Something about
that's crazy to me. Yeah, but that's America for you.
So I think it's a pretty like underrated example of that happening. Obviously, the word cultural appropriation, like people weren't calling that out back then at all.
Definitely.
But you know, you've got your riffraffs, you've got your modern dude. There's a lot of producers.
I don't even think you would call Elvis necessarily cultural appropriate. I think you just call Elvis stealing. He just straight up stole.
Yeah, but I think if you're gonna try to define that word for me, I would use Elvis as
definitely.
The,
but I'm saying his was even farther than just straight cultural appropriation. He stole. Like there would be songs that black artists made. He'd take it, make his copy.
Remember that song In the Ghetto?
Man. What you know about being in the ghetto, Elvis?
That's funny to me to think about that in this context. It's like, yeah, what would you know? What would you know about that? It's like when Meghan Trainor says, "I'm bringing Booty back."
Man, don't even get me started on that. Booty never left. For those who think they bringing Booty back, Booty never left.
That's good stuff. Sorry, Megan. Trainer.
You probably ain't got no ass, no way. Let me go look. Megan Trainor booty. Let
Jaren's
me see if she even got booty to back up this claim.
Fully call you out right now.
Fully. I don't think nobody with a last name Trainor.
Fully call you out. You know, I feel like I gotta say, you know, before talking too much shit about Megan Trainor, is I really respect the empowerment thing, you know. Like, yeah, that was kind of a phase that came and went, but you really can't hate on that to make people feel more confident about themselves at the same time. Your records have to be better. And you can't say things like, I'm bringing booty back. What kind of
she might have a little booty. A little booty, but it ain't enough to bring
Jaren's
booty
giving
back.
You some credit. Jaren,
she got a little booty. You
give
know,
it a
little cheeks to squeeze on.
Okay, give it a 1 to 10.
But she ain't bringing it back. Give it a one. That much in,
give her a 1 to 10. There. Great.
1 to 10?
Yeah.
She got a 6.
A 6? Yeah. Okay, Megan. Congratulations.
Nope. Respectable, you know, something to kind of lay up with late at night, but it ain't enough to be like, damn. You know? Like, it's.
Oh, yeah.
So.
All right, well, shout out Megan. Before we get out of here, Jaren, if you got a record or something you want to, we haven't really been talking about music strictly that much, but is there
it's kind of been bouncing around.
Album or song you want to recommend before we get out of here?
Not really. Not today.
Not today. You're going to pass on it. I'll say that I was talking about Queens of the Stone Age earlier. I really want to recommend Rated R. Yeah, I think it's their most accessible album, and if you're into good rock music, like, there's no way you're not going to be into the Queens of the Stone Age. Like, they're just so.
Actually, such I did get my stuff. Recommendation already. Usher Live.
Oh, yeah. So that's your recommendation.
Check that record out.
Okay.
That's my rec for the week.
Sounds good. I'm going to end off on the most promising rapper of our era. We don't know what we're talking about.
But I have fun doing it.
Yeah, thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Peace. Yeah.